on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Wednesday, November 27th, 2024 edition. Can you believe it? Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and this is a short holiday season. Think about how late. I don't remember the last time Thanksgiving was on the 28th. It's been a long time. So, the distance between Thanksgiving and Christmas will be much shorter than usual. So prepare for that, especially when you're talking about holiday shopping. And talk about preparing. Well, this is a day or a time where you prepare for the next year. We're rapidly approaching the year end, and that typically brings changes to the market. And in this particular year, we will be seeing a change in our administration here in the United States. And obviously, that is going to have wide-ranging impacts. Some will be as large as expected in certain areas, and some will be much lower than expected. But it's really about following the pattern of how things are evolving and adjusting your expectations accordingly. Because guess what? The market will adjust their expectations as well. Now, that's just next year. The lessons that hopefully we can teach every day on Invest Talk are principles that you can apply year after year to your particular situation by understanding concepts, understanding how to balance risk versus reward, weigh the pros and cons of every investment and how it fits for you and your particular end financial goals. Okay, so that's what the show is really about, is putting in the right mindset to make good decisions with your money. Now, we will look at today's market performance in just a bit and run down some show topics. First, let's tackle our first caller question, and it will be John from Missouri looking at KALC or K, yeah, KALC?
The ticker is KLAC. It's KLA Corp.
Yep. Okay. So I thought. Okay, so this is in the semiconductor equipment business. It's currently in a downtrend like a lot of the other semiconductor equipment companies. Do you own it or are you looking to buy it?
I was looking to buy it. I don't own anything currently.
Okay. And what's making you interested in this name?
I just saw that some of the semiconductor names were down right now, and I thought it might be a good time to get them at a low price if they might go up in the future. And I picked up Qualcomm today, and I just got looking at, I just stumbled upon KLA Corp, and I was thinking about possibly swapping it out in my portfolio with Qualcomm. It just seems like a bit of a broader semiconductor stock as it manufactures for semiconductor companies versus one specific industry where Qualcomm, or not one specific, but certain niche that Qualcomm fits into.
Yeah. That does make sense. Now, so KLAC is the largest semiconductor wafer fabrication equipment producer. Okay. And so what this is more of a company that builds the machines that will build the actual semiconductors. Does that make sense? And so, it's going to build machines that will provide chips for a wide range of industries. So I understand that. The issue here is that the semiconductor space has gone through a long uptrend. And if you go from the COVID, short chip shortage all the way up to the recent hype around AI and its deployment, there's been a lot of positive catalysts. And that has pushed business, certainly. Earnings have gone from You know, 2019, $8.46 to $23.74 last year. Now, that was down from the previous year, 6%. And it's supposed to bounce back in KLAC this year and next year. But those estimate revisions are a bit mixed. And they have a lot of debt. In the history of the semiconductor space are big booms and big busts. Big booms and big busts. And typically what happens is when it first starts with, okay, we have too much capacity in the industry, right? That there's too much building of chip factories to keep up with the demand. And then demand starts to slow. And then first you say, okay, we don't need more factories. We'll just stick with what we have. And that will start with the down draft in orders for the chip manufacturers like KLAC, like an ASML, AMAT, et cetera. AMAT's Applied Materials. And so all of these names are starting to enter a downtrend. And now you're starting to see the other names follow. So these are the names that actually lead on the downside, and they will actually lead on the upside as well. The problem is that this downtrend just started. If you look at the history of the rallies and the falls in the semiconductor space, you'll see that when there is a downdraft, they fall dramatically. So let's go on KLAC. KLAC has been around for a long time. And if you go back to the last downdraft, they peaked out in 2000. They went from $95 all the way to a low of 15. Okay. And then the other downdraft was in 2014. It went from $83 all the way down to $46. So down about 50% there. So, you know, I think this is a name that is probably just starting its downtrend, along with the rest of the space. Look at ASML, their bookings fell 50%. And so, you know, you just don't want to keep this, you don't want to jump on this trend when the downtrend just started. So I would keep on your watch list because it's a good company, but I think this is too early to jump in. Thanks for the call. Now we're going to a short break. On the other side, I'll preview today's market topics as well as the market activity for today. And take your questions on the Invest Talk Anytime listener line at 888-99-CHART. Yes, we fixed it. Our toll-free number is working once again.
Invest Talk is made better when listeners add their voices.
This is Nick from Seattle.
Hey, this is Steve out of Charleston, South Carolina.
Could you comment on Barrick Gold, G-O-L-D?
And Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are always ready to provide unbiased answers.
Be patient. Don't rush into anything. Understand what you own.
I would probably trim here, but I don't see any reason why you'd want to sell out of it.
Voice bank calls are very important, but so are the spontaneous questions that come in during the InvestTalk live stream.
Let's pivot over to a live call. We love those.
Looks like we got our first live call. I love live calls. Let's go.
If you've never called, what are you waiting for?
Let's go take another live call.
Tell your friends, live a little, live a little.
Looks like we got a live call.
Call InvestTalk weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it sure does. I appreciate the advice.
888-99-CHART. InvestTalk, now with more than 60 million downloads. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are ready to answer your finance and investment questions 24/7. 888-99-CHART.
Over the next 40 minutes or so, and our main focus point is about the fact that over half of U.S. workers plan to rely entirely on Social Security. And this is an alarming trend, underscores the urgent need for individuals to rethink their retirement strategies and explore additional savings options. So we'll look at that, and I really want to dig into this because it's so vital for most people's retirement plan is the Social Security piece. And there's a lot of ways to maximize it. And there's a lot of ways to abuse this system and neglect your other aspects of retirement. So we'll look at that. In addition, China has implemented some major stimulus packages. And the question is, what are they really trying to do and will it work? Okay, so we'll look at that. Also, Trump has appointed Gail Slater to run the FTC. What does that mean for antitrust? I think that is a very important question that we need to answer. So we'll look at that as well. We also have voice bank questions to play and some questions that came in from the comment section over on our YouTube channel. But now let's look in today's market performance. It was a down day. S&P was down about 40 basis points. Dow was down 30 basis points. And NASDAQ definitely had the worst day. That was down about 60 basis points. And you're starting to see the rollover of the major tech names. Now, part of this could be likely to be the yen carry trade. The yen was stronger on the day. And you saw major selling in Broadcom, Oracle. We saw Tesla down 1.5%. You had Nvidia down over 1%, continued its downtrend. That's starting to break its major uptrend that it's been in for a while. So that's where you saw the major weakness today. The rest of the market, you know, fairly mixed. You had some stocks that did well, like Disney, that was up about 2% on the day. So there were some winners, but overall a negative day as we head into the holiday shortened week or the holiday weekend, shall we say. I know the market is open half day on Friday. You're not going to get a whole lot, to be honest with you. It's very, very light volume. Don't really take anything from that day. There's not really any movement is just basically light volume trading and doesn't really tell you much about trends in the market. So that's where we're at. Like I said, large cap growth certainly had the toughest day, down over 1%, whereas large cap value, that was actually up 0.18% on the day. And a big part of that is the dollar. Like I said, the dollar was weak and that brought some strength to the commodity space. And so you continue to see gold up. Gold was up on the day, not dramatically, but a little bit, especially in a red day. The GDX, the gold miners were up as well. You had silver down a little bit, but that was the market today. And I continue to think we're going to get a choppy, probably positive close to the end of the year. Now let's keep things moving and play another listener question now.
Good morning, Justin and Luke. This is Brad from New Jersey. I'm calling to see what you guys think about Anheuser-Busch, your symbol BUD. It's been beaten up pretty good. I know it's a globally recognized name and they have business all over the world. I picked them up yesterday at $54 a share. Just wanted to see what you guys thought about that. Looking forward to your answer on the podcast. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Looking at Budweiser, the largest brewer in the world and one of the world's top five consumer product companies measured by EBITDA. And it has six of the top 10 beer brands by volume, according to Euromonitor. And it distributes a total of 23 different brands with over $1 billion in retail sales. So it's a large brewer, and it has a lot of debt. And that's my issue. They have about $80 billion in net debt in its balance sheet on a $100 billion market cap. And its business is good, you know, but it's not growing. Earnings this year are supposed to be up 10%, but those estimates continue to come down. And last year, earnings were only up 1%. Last quarter, revenues were down 3%. You're seeing people move away from beer and a lot of seltzers. And so that's a shift in consumer demand. And also, if they are drinking beer, a lot of times they're drinking microbrews and local beers. And so just the longer term trends are not in favor of Budweiser. And I don't like companies like that where they have kind of poor secular trends, right? Headwinds and a lot of debt. And over time, what this is the perfect recipe for a value trap. So that's why I would sell it. I would not own Budweiser. I think it is a value trap. It looks cheap, but actually it doesn't even look that cheap, right? Even if it's gonna make $3.30 this year, it's an $80 or $54 stock. That's a mid to high. That's a high teen multiple with a lot of debt, with poor secular trends. I just think there's a lot more downside to go. So I would not be owning Budweiser. I'd sell it. Now we're moving to a break, still to come, my focus point, and more answers to your questions, and even a question submitted on our YouTube channel as well. But give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Justin or Luke? You're the best person to ask it.
I wanted to pick your brain about Apple. What did you think about their earnings call? Is this a good time to add to my position?
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk. Your questions are free. The answers are unbiased. Justin Klein is here now, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you can do and ask your question on today's show. Now, our main focus point is about the fact that more than half of U.S. workers expect to rely on Social Security benefits when they retire. And that's 53%. Okay, we'll say that. And more than a quarter of non-retired U.S. adults expect to be very reliant on Social Security. Think about that. Very reliant. Means the vast majority of their income is going to be coming from Social Security. And Americans closer to retirement age are more likely to say they expect to be reliant on Social Security benefits. So it just shows you they're coming to the realization that they haven't done enough. Now, over 2 in 3 non-retired baby boomers, that's age 60 to 78, and 56% of non-retired Gen Xers, age 44 to 59, say they expect to be relying on Social Security benefits, along with 48% of millennials and 46% of Gen Zers. So it separates as you get into the younger generations. But what this is showing you is that people are just simply not prepared. And, you know, the trends in savings rates have been poor for years. And it's really about lacking a plan. What's crazy is, you know, they're great tools. We have great financial planning tools for our clients, but there are a lot of ways to set a path and have a plan. And this is highlighting that, is that as they get older, they're starting to realize they haven't done enough to reach their goals. And now they're just reliant on this social safety net. That's what Social Security is. It's a social safety net. And what's even more perplexing about this whole situation is that 73% of non-retired and 71% of retired U.S. adults say they are concerned about Social Security promises that they will run out. And I hear this all the time from clients. I'm worried Social Security is not going to be paid. I think that's the third rail. One of the third rails in politics is touching Social Security. And in fact, Trump's going the other way and saying, hey, maybe we don't tax Social Security benefits at all. And so that is just showing you how much that's unlikely to happen. Nobody's going to want to be pinned on being the one to cut Social Security. And so they will make adjustments. They will potentially mean test it, raise the retirement age. They will raise the cap on Social Security taxes for workers. And these are all things that you only have to move them a little bit to change the calculus in a major way. So what's interesting is that they're probably less correct on this than most things. So that's something that we don't think our clients should worry about. But what we do say is you have to maximize Social Security. you have to know based on what your benefits will be at full retirement age versus your spouse's, and when you should take one versus the other, right? For a lot of people, it's, hey, the spouse that earned the least throughout their lives, they typically take that earlier. And then the one that makes the most, has the higher benefit, they wait all the way till 70. And then at 70, the other spouse takes spousal benefits. So that's something, that's a strategy that is common. But everyone's situation is different. But it's a strategy that is vital to get right. Because I think I told the story a couple weeks ago. We had a new client that took Social Security at 64, him and his wife. And because they didn't have a plan of when they should take it. And there's no going back, right? Once you take it, there's no going back. So you need to get it right. You need to have a plan going in. Especially when so many people are going to be heavily reliant on it. So don't just take it without understanding why. Why am I taking this Social Security now? If you can't answer that question, you aren't confident in the why, besides, oh, I'm eligible. It's not a reason why. Okay. Why this age? Why am I doing it at 64? Why am I doing it at 67? Why am I waiting to 70? You should know that. If you don't know that, you need to talk to somebody and answer that question. Oh, we're going to a break. Never mind. Here we go. My phone lines are open, waiting for you at 888-99-CHART.
Now nearing 60 million downloads, InvestTalk is ready 24/7 for your finance and investment questions.
My 5-year-old son and I listen to your podcast every night, so thank you very much for putting it on.
Justin Klein is here and ready to tackle your questions.
Is it a good idea to sell your losses in a Roth IRA and just use whatever you have left to reinvest into better stocks?
Wondering what you thought about this REIT, if it would be a good time to get in.
I wanted to pick your brain about Apple. What did you think about their earnings call? Is this a good time to add to my position?
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Proving trust is more important than ever, especially when it comes to your security program. Vanta helps centralize program requirements and automate evidence collection for frameworks like SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, so you save time and money and build customer trust. And with Vanta, you get continuous visibility into the state of your controls. Join more than 8,000 global companies like Flow Health, Synthesia, and Alica Bank who trust Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Now that's a new way to GRC. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.
InvestTalk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch InvestTalk on our YouTube channel.
Hello, gentlemen. Great show. I have a question on a couple stocks I bought for the long term. I wanted to be in the small cap arena. So I purchased ALSN, Allison Transmission Holdings. I got it at 97. Do you feel like I can hang on to this thing longer? Is it, you think it's ran its course already? I just wanted you to go over the fundamentals on that and see if that's a good long-term play for the small cap. And then also I'm going with Tesla. Elon Musk is in the White House. I'm just going that for the next 4 years. I don't know if that's a good, solid company to be in as well, since he's involved with it more. But I really appreciate your input on this. Give me your ideas, and it'd be great to go over that small cap company and see if it's something that I can hang on for long term. Thank you.
All right. Looking at Allison Transmissions, this is the name that we've actually owned for a while. It is near a 52-week high, around $118 per share. We bought this a couple of years ago. In the 30s or 40s, can't remember exactly, but well before it broke out. And so we saw great value there. And we we expect earnings to go up, and we expect to do well, but not this well. We didn't think this was going to be a, you know, a three bagger, and it has been. But it's been a name that we've loved to continue to own. It's a bit overbought right now, but you know, it's a great business. And so for everyone else out there, it's about $10 billion market cap. It's firmly moved into the mid caps. When you're over 10 billion, I think that's clearly the mid cap space. And we like mid caps in general. And it's just very profitable. Return equity around 53%. We love that. And they have very minimal debt, $700 million in free cash flow. So you're talking about a 7% free cash flow yield. That's very good for a business that it does continue to grow. And they do make fully automatic transmissions for basically heavy duty vehicles, so commercial vehicles mainly. And so that is a business that continues to do very, very well. And so I do think this is a name that you can own for the long term. Even though it's a bit overbought, maybe could go through a consolidation period. I could see that next year, but this is definitely a more long-term buy and hold, especially because of the quality of and profitability of the business and the clean balance sheet. Okay. Now, when it comes to Tesla, that's another story. You know, that is speculative. It's gone up, obviously, on the Trump victory. But that's one thing you have to use to Elon in the White House. Remember, Elon was not elected to anything. And the Doge is not an official department. You know, it's just an advisory board, really. So, you know, obviously he's going to have his hand in things to a degree. But, you know, it's also two big egos. And we'll see how long kind of the love affair between Trump and Elon lasts. And obviously Trump is not a huge fan of putting money, a lot of money towards EVs. And so what will that look like for Tesla as well? And then you pile on the valuation. Valuation remains extremely stretched on Tesla. So I see it as a speculative vehicle only. This is not a good investment, but it is, if you want to speculate, just kind of like, you know, DJT, right? It was an investment vehicle to a speculative vehicle to express the potential of a new Trump administration. And obviously that played out, but since the election, that's sold off. So I think that you're going to see something similar with Tesla, where there's expectations of all these things that maybe Elon will help bring to fruition with the administration for Tesla, but that's unlikely to be as robust as the market has now priced in. So Allison, thumbs up. Tesla, not so much. Now I'll get to one of my topics, but first let's play another caller question.
I had a question about a Roth IRA account. If I would I open it, I put $1,000 in for the first 5 years, each year $1,000. At the end of 5 years, would I be able to pull out the full $5,000 or just that first $1,000 initial, I guess, deposit? So I know you got to wait 5 years. I don't know if the account has to be open 5 years or the money that you had put in. Do you have to wait 5 years to pull that out? Hope you understand the question. Thank you.
I do understand the question. And from my understanding, it is the full $5,000. The account has to be established for over 5 years. And then you can take out the contributions to a Roth at any time, penalty free. Thanks for the call. But let's talk a little bit about China. And China announced a stimulus package back in, what was that? September. Let's see. I think it was late September, if I remember correctly. Should have looked at a chart. Yeah, late September. That's right. And it initially went up dramatically over just a short period of time, a couple of weeks. And then since then, it's kind of trailed off. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that the stimulus package hasn't been well received. There are a lot of critics, and they're saying a few things. Number one is that this package is too small. And the first is, you know, it's a $1.4 trillion package. It's kind of a lot. But it's mainly restructuring the debt of the country. Taking a lot of that off-balance sheet debt from local governments and putting it on balance sheet to the federal government. And critics would say you're just shuffling chairs on the Titanic. And I think there's an argument to that. But if you start to unpack what they are trying to do, it's something that is less splashy and more structural, trying to lay a foundation for more sustainable growth. And that's probably what I give them the most credit for, is having some restraint, not just doing the easy thing, and trying to focus on creating a sustainable economy. Obviously, relying so heavily on exports and massive amounts of local government debt to build infrastructure and new buildings, et cetera, is not smart. It's a misallocation of capital. And this is a way to try to, in many ways, what we did, they're doing the same thing as we did with the financial crisis, where we kicked a lot of the debt up to the sovereign level, meaning we bailed out the private corporations, and a lot of that debt, we ran deficits, and a lot of that debt was paid off in the private sector and pushed up to where we are now, which is a lot of federal government debt. And that's kind of what they're doing here. Now, it looks a little different because the excesses of debt were more in, like I said, local governments versus private corporations. Now, this shift gives local governments some breathing room in order to potentially redeploy resources to things like essential services and infrastructure that is needed versus ones that just produce higher GDP. So I think that is smart. And hopefully this will also give rise to more jobs, right? Local governments are now under less fiscal strain and can catch up on, a lot of times there's outstanding balances they haven't been able to pay, jobs that haven't been filled because they don't have the budget, etc. So this can free up some of that. And so the market is saying this lacks a lot of punch near term and isn't really giving a boost to economic growth that the administration has always talked about, right? 5% growth, et cetera, consistently. And they're undershooting that picture. And the fact that this is more reshuffling of debt or restructuring of debt and less fiscal stimulus is saying, hey, that, you know, that goal is less important. I think that is a smart thing. It actually is generally a positive. But what this is telling you is that this is going to be a long-term process. They see what they at least believe they need to do. And they know it's not, you know, take the heroin, right? And juice the economy in the near term. It's let's find a path out of this conundrum that they're in of poor demographics, poor allocation of resources through building way too much real estate, being way too heavily reliant on exports. And let's find a path forward that is more sustainable. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be successful, but I do think that they have a higher chance of being successful because they are not being so myopic and focusing solely on GDP growth. So this could make the Chinese economy more durable and resilient over the long term. And that's probably the best thing you can say right now about China, because they do have a lot of problems. And the second best thing is they haven't done a lot that is catastrophic from a geopolitical standpoint. And so something to continue to watch, but it's also a reminder that, hey, don't expect this investing in China is going to be this instant panacea because they're going to do a ton of stimulus. I think it's going to be similar to what you've seen over the past few months. Big surges higher, a while where things kind of fizzle out, and then you get to the next phase of stimulus. And that's going to create a lot of volatility, some opportunity, but also still a lot of risk. Now, I hope you've been telling your friends that our podcast is available in video form over on YouTube, and we get questions submitted via the comment section there, and let's tackle one of those questions now. Isaiah Tipton says, can you evaluate Domino's Pizza, DPZ? What do you think of the company, and what would be a good entry point? All right. Let's take a look at Domino's Pizza. This is a name that peaked out. Actually, let me zoom out to a weekly chart. Yeah, this peaked out back in end of 2021. It was in many ways viewed as kind of a growth stock because earnings were rising dramatically from $9.57 during pre-pandemic to a high last year of $14.66. Earnings are supposed to go up another 14% this year, but those estimates continue to come down. In fact, last quarter, revenues were only up 5% and earnings were actually flat year over year. But if you're looking at the multiple it's trading at, it's trading in the high 20s. Okay, based on backwards looking earnings, even forward looking earnings, you're still mid 20s in PE. That's pretty expensive, to be honest with you. And it's still in a downtrend. It hasn't recovered those 2021 highs. And while it's a good business, I like that this is on your watch list. I just can't buy a pizza company at these valuations. Remember, I think it was Cramer that said, oh, Domino's isn't a pizza company. It's a technology company. I always thought that was really funny. But profitability is trending lower. And they do have a decent amount of debt in their balance sheet. Solid free cash flow, but free cash flow yield is about 3%. It's not amazing. So, and it's trading at enterprise value to EBIT around 21, which is not cheap. So I don't like the lack of growth. I don't like the high multiple it's trading at. I do like the business. I just need a much lower price. Now you ask, what price would that be? I'm going to say back down around 285, the 472 now. So I think there's a ways to go before this is a reasonable valuation. Thanks for the call. Now, 2024 is moving fast and we're here. We're here to help. 2025 is just around the corner. And if you need help understanding whether your portfolio is aligned with your risk tolerance levels, your most importantly, your goals. You know, I see clients all the time or new clients that, you know, they're willing to be aggressive, but based on their plan, their goals, they don't need to be as aggressive, right? Maybe they're approaching retirement and they don't need that volatility, even though their willingness to take risk is high. They don't need to do that and vice versa. So everyone's situation is different. And that's what we do in our free portfolio review assessments is go over those factors, run a full analysis of all your holdings and figure out where there are holes in your strategy and exposures that you need to increase, other exposures you may need to decrease. And that's why I encourage you to reach out to my company, KPP Financial, where we practice parallel investing, which means we invest right alongside our clients. And we provide unbiased guidance both on and off air. So head over to investtalk.com. Click on the portfolio review button, the top right-hand part of the screen, and schedule your free portfolio review assessment via telephone or Zoom meetings. Now, this is InvestTalk, now with more than 60 million downloads in our history, and our work continues in 30 seconds, so hang on.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future.
Would this be an opportune time to get into annuities?
Everyone's situation is different.
Get your thoughts on CRM, Salesforce.
And so are their questions.
And I was just calling for your assessment of Blackstone Incorporated.
24/7, rain or shine, InvestTalk is made better by the power of you. 888-99-CHART.
Now we're heading into our final break. Still to come, one more live call. Oh, no, sorry, we don't have live call. We have time, though, for one more live call. So why don't you pick up the phone right now and call me at 888-99-CHART.
Do
Justin Klein is here and ready to tackle your questions.
I've heard you say multiple times that you prefer shorter duration treasury bonds. Can you explain to me why it is more advisable?
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Dan from Walnut Creek, and I had a question about Dell Technologies. It's up 49% over the past year, but recently it's like over the last 6 months, it's down 35%. It took a big hit, I think, yesterday or the day before. So I was wondering what your thoughts are holding on to this. I have a small position, and I was thinking of keeping it for another year to 3 year range, or if I should just get rid of it at this time, or possibly buy more. Your thoughts would be appreciated. Thanks. Bye.
All right, looking at Dell Technologies, it's had earnings with some other PC makers last night, and this was down dramatically, about 12% on the day. And it is now entering a bit of a downtrend from its high in 2021. This is another, let me pull this up. So if I go to a weekly chart, this peaked at, come on, work for me. There we go. It peaked back in, what was this, June at $180 per share. And it fell all the way to 88. Now we're back. Recent high was about 144, and now we're at 124. And earnings next year are expected to be $7.83. So if you're looking from a multiple perspective, it's trading about in the high teens multiple. Now, revenues were still good, up 20%. Revenues, earnings up 14%. But if you look at some of its other competitors in the space, it is not any more profitable. Okay, it's profitable. Don't get me wrong. Return on invested capital 17%. That's good. Near an all-time high. So I have no issue with that. But I just don't like the valuation that you're paying when you can pay much less for other similar names that also have good free cash flow and good balance sheets, etc. So I just don't think it's the best within the space. That's my only issue with it. I think you can find better. And so I would be looking to move on if, and you have to ask yourself, do you want to still own the hardware business? And, you know, you could argue with the AI cycle that there would continue to be high demand for PCs, laptops, etc., servers, and the hardware makers will benefit. And I believe that over the extended period, even though the recent earnings announcements were a bit lackluster. So, yeah, I just think it's not the best owner, maker of PCs that you can find in the marketplace. Thanks for the call. Now, lastly, let's touch on some rumored heads of the Department of Justice or the FTC under the Trump administration. And the one in pole position would be Gail Slater. And this would signify support for a much tougher stance on antitrust. Very similar to current FTC chair, Lina Khan. Now, she is very close with Vice President-elect J.D. Vance. And this could mean major changes coming to the big tech names. In fact, J.D. Vance recently said in the Financial Times that he wants to see Google broken up. So, not your typical business-friendly, at least when it comes to, you know, tech business, friendly Republican, right? And so she's in pole position. Now, who else could it be? Well, Senator Mike Lee, a Trump ally and a top Republican in the U.S. Senate, threw his weight behind Mark Meador, a former enforcer at the Department of Justice and the FTC. So some experience there. But he would maintain also another tough stance on Google, Apple, Meta, Amazon, etc. And I think that is an issue with big tech and by proxy, the broader market, because it's so heavily weighted there. And could that be one of the reasons why big tech is weakening? And it just goes to show you that don't judge this new administration, rightly or wrongly, positively or negatively, in the same light as you would a traditional Republican administration. Because there are definitely some outside the box type of nominations. And that, from your standard Republican. Now, there will be your standard Republican type of nominees, but it's certainly be a mix. And you have to judge the direction of policy by these picks kind of on a one-off basis, because it's going to be very different. Just think of, Marco Rubio for our Secretary of State. That's more traditional versus, your Tulsi Gabbard's in an RFK's. And so I wanted to highlight that because I think there could still be pressure on those mega cap names, mega cap tech names, as we head into 2025. I'm Justin Klein. This week's another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find at any time at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And remember, we can help you better understand your portfolio dynamics as we head into 2025 and more appropriately align your strategy with your ultimate goals. We can do that by heading over to investtalk.com and clicking on the portfolio review button. And once again, this is a free and confidential service. Now, tomorrow is a market holiday, so we have put together a fresh compilation show. Call it Best of Caller Question Podcast. Look for that to be posted on investtalk.com and other platforms tomorrow. Independent thinking, shared success. It's InvestTalk. Good night and enjoy your holiday.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.